If you have your Bibles, open them up to Zechariah chapter number 7, and we'll be looking at verse number 11, 7-11. So if you go there, if you're having trouble with Zechariah, just go to Matthew and go back to Malachi and then Zechariah, and you'll have it. That'll make it a little bit easier for you. Also, I will mention, I heard some people talk about it, we have taken the sign down off the back door. I think kind of some winter weather, cooler weather has prevailed. And so we can use the door to go back and forth. You don't have to walk around. I was especially glad to hear that, since I'm having to walk a little bit different now than I used to. Again, God has been faithful. Amen? Amen. Honestly, and I don't say this trying to be spiritual or pious or whatever, but I'm telling you, I have nothing to complain about. I've had a little bit of suffering. But my Lord Jesus Christ had way more suffering than I ever did. And I tell you, I'm reminded every day when I'm going through it that he's the one that gave his life for me, or that I might have salvation. We're looking at chapter number 7, and if I can get there right now. Chapter number 7 in verse number 11. The Bible said, but they refused to hearken, and pulled away their shoulder, stopped their ears, that they should not hear. I hope you don't do that this morning. If I see you with your fingers in your ears, I'm going to be concerned. But basically, that's what was happening here with these people. They had come to the point where they were rebelling against everything that God had said, what he wanted to do, and they refused to hearken. So this morning, I just want to preach for a little bit on that, talk to you about the matter of the importance of listening, learning, and leaning on God and allowing him to work in and through our lives. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, Lord, we do thank you today for the opportunity and the privilege we have to come together once again to preach the Word of God. And Lord, even though my legs are hurting, I'm grateful today that my voice is still able to carry and proclaim the truth of the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd give me wisdom, strength, and help. But most of all, Lord, I pray that you'd give the people that's here understanding. Lord, again, we're here to be a help, not a hindrance. And I pray that you'd help us all to be a help in everything we do and say. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. Now, we will be going to Zechariah chapter 1 in a little bit. So if you want to stick your finger over there, you can. But we're going to be sharing some things. We break down the outline today. But we find here the importance of just learning about God. In the Word of God, the word hearken or hearken is there some 234 times. In other words, it's important when you come to the house of God to hear the Word of God. The Bible said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And honestly today, just because you're here doesn't mean that you're here. You know what I mean? You get to the point in your life, you come, you may be distracted by things around you, but we need to understand the importance of listening and heeding to what God says. I thought how appropriate this is in the day and age which we live in. It seems like people are defying God on the right and the left, and they're going against the things and the truths of the Word of God. But I believe God informs us that he's interested in having our attention. He wants us to listen, heed. I know today I'm just a simple old servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm telling you today I'm preaching from his book. I'm telling you what he said. I'm telling you what he would have you to do, and I pray today that God will speak to your heart. The word hearken there means to pay attention, to listen. I remember my teachers in school used to tell me that. Sit up, listen. And they got my attention. In fact, Brother Paul Young, he would snap them big old fingers and sound like dropping a book on the desk. And he'd snap the fingers and immediately he had everybody's attention. So the word hearken is to give that attention that is there. The Bible said in Revelation 13, verse number 9, if any man have an ear, let him hear. I don't know anybody today that doesn't have an ear. Now, some of his ears might not work as good as others, but the fact of it is, if you don't, you've got an artificial ear on your other ear to help you in order that you might hear. And yet today we have the ear and we need to hear. The word hearken means to listen, to lend, to be attentive, incline our ears, hearken, pay attention, listen. I've already said that. But what we need is to understand, listen to me, what we need to understand is partial obedience is still disobedience. You can say, "Well, I obeyed part of it." You don't need to be obeying part of it. You need to be obeying all of it, because obedience is not judged by what part of obedience you do, but it's by being obedient to Him in every area of our life. What we need to understand is partial obedience is still disobedience. The text proves that. What God wants in our life is a complete surrender to Him. He wants us to give our all and lay our life on the altar. I'm so thankful, and I don't bring this up lightly, but I'm so grateful. You know something? God's blessed me. I've been in the ministry for 45 years. I never would have dreamed when I started out. I never thought about that I wouldn't make it that far, but I never thought about being there that far and being able to do the things that I did. But today we need to notice another thing. Notice to the sinner. If a lost person does not completely surrender to God, they cannot be saved. You must understand that today. It's not partially saved. The Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If a sinner continually rejects God, lives after the flesh, then one day God's going to reject them. Now, you know, today, I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I believe a person's saved, they're saved for all eternity. But I tell you this, you better be sure you are saved. And if you're not hearkening to the voice of the Lord and doing what He'd have you to do, there might be a good chance you aren't saved. And I'm not here today to judge in any way, and I don't want you to think I am. But we find today many have been turned away from God, and because of that, God said that He turned them over to reprobate minds. In other words, it came to the point, God, I believe, gets to the point where He said, okay, I've had enough. You said, well, people, can't they be saved as long as they got breath in the body? Yes, they do, as long as they don't continue to reject God, because at some point, God will have enough. And He's done that. In fact, He speaks of that in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 30. He said, reprobate silver shall man call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. In Romans 1:28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things which were not convenient. In Titus 1:16, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. In Proverbs chapter 1, it said they profess that they know God, but in works they don't. You know, isn't that amazing? You please understand what I'm saying, but I believe if we really love God and we're really hearkening to God, I believe it'll be evident in our life, the way we live, things we do, and how faithful we are to the God that we love and serve. I think today how many people so many times feel as if God's just there for use when we need it. He's there to help us out from time to time. But I submit to you today, God is there with us all the time to meet and supply our every need. They profess they know God, but they deny Him. And by the way, that's an abominable thing. They become disobedient unto every good work and become a reprobate. The Bible says, sinner friend, if you reject God's man, and again, I remind you, I say that very lightly and I say it with a great deal of fear in my heart. But today, I am here today representing God, not in His place, but to represent His word and what He has to say. And I believe today, if you're disobedient in those areas, if you deny it, if you deny God's man and fail to hear Him, I very seldom notice, I'm not one that, I don't let things distract me. Now, things can distract me, but when I'm preaching, normally, I've told people, and I shouldn't tell you this because y'all start sleeping on me, but I try to look over your heads. I do, because some of his expressions are not good, and you look and you're like, whoa, wait, you know, and it throws me off, and it don't take much to throw me off anyway. But listen, sometimes we're not listening to God's man. But what I started to say, in this church, the best of my ability, I don't see that happen a lot. Now, it may be because I'm looking over your head that I do, but I don't notice it that much. We need to pay attention to God's message. The Bible said Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And understand that. The lost man needs to understand God's means of salvation. Means of salvation. If you reject God, you're in very much danger. People have the idea, and again, please, I'm convinced more and more every day that we're living in a day and age in which there's a lot of people, well, I don't know there's a lot of people, but we see people professing, but they don't act like they're possessing. I tell you today, the Bible said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Notice to the saved. If we're saved and we do not completely surrender to God, we're rebelling against God's will and the fullness of His joy. God wants us to have joy in our hearts and lives. He wants us to understand that and see the importance of it, because thou hast He said there, these verses, let me get it, in 1 Samuel 15:23. He said, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, He hath also rejected thee from being king. First thing we notice, a saved person, and of course, a saved person will not lose their salvation, but will reap what they sow. Now somebody said, well, lost people, they don't belong to God, so, you know, God's not going to chastise them. I'm just telling you, the Bible said, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I believe if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap the flesh. And it's going to happen in your life as you come along the way, as you do. God is not mocked, but whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I'm going to tell you something today. There's generations, and I'm always mindful. I think of something like this happening to me, what I'm going through. I question myself sometimes, Lord, is it something that I've been disobedient in? And it very well could be, because all of us have problems, always do what we need to do. But by the grace of God, I want to be found faithful, doing what the Lord would have me to do. I saw these statistics, going to read them quickly. They say people make all kind of resolutions, health and fitness. They say 22% of the resolutions involve health and fitness, 18% career, 15% personal growth and interest, 11% personal finance, 11% time management and organization, 8% family and relationships, 6% education and training, 5% home improvements and real estate, 3% recreation and leisure. You know, we come to those points, but what is it? It makes no difference. What we do for Christ is all that's going to matter. And I tell you today, we've caught up today of a generation of people that live for pleasure. They live for serving self rather than serving God. And literally today, when we look at that and understand it, I think it's so important. And I'm not trying to be superhero or Superman by being here this morning. I know some people probably say, well, he's just trying to show off. I'm going to tell you, literally, I'm here because I'm able to be here. Maybe not as able as I would like to be, but I'm here because this is what God called me to do. And he told me not to forsake the assembling of myself together. And I'm here to tell you this morning that we better hearken to the voice of the Lord and understand this is serious business when we turn our shoulder and walk away from Him. We find here, we talk about what we're going to do, but I tell you, we can only do what God allows us to do through His will. I want to show you the first point this morning. Consider a calculated reprimand. Now, if you would, turn back to chapter number 1 of Zechariah, chapter number 1. And I want to show you some verses. Consider a calculated reprimand. By the way, God does reprimand. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son. And believe me, when you start feeling pressure, it's a good thing to do to go and say, Lord, is it something I've done? Are you chastising me? I do it because I know that I'm not everything I need to be, and I want to be more than I am. But I want to know that God will reprimand me, and He won't put up with my foolishness, and He won't put up with your foolishness. He's looking for people that'll come on this Sunday morning, hear the Word of God, open their Bible, and hearken to the voice of the Lord. You say, well, you know, we do the best we can. No, the best we can is the best we can, and I believe we can all do it. Notice prophecy opens with a reprimand from God. God is identifying the areas that was wrong with the nation. I believe there's some important practical truths that are found here. And the first thing we notice is found in verse number 1. In verse number 1, notice the declaration from God. The Bible said, in the 8th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying. We're going to see in just a minute what he said. But he made a declaration. You know, when we come to the house of God, we're not here to come and just pedal around and just kind of get around the outskirts. We're here to preach the Word of God. We're to make a declaration. We're to make a declaration that Jesus saves. We're to make a declaration that God expects us to live for Him and serve Him and to love Him with all our heart and soul. But then look at verse 2. He expresses His displeasure. The Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Now today, I know we go back and think about our fathers and all the people that are there, those that have gone on before us. But it says the Lord has been sore displeased. I don't know, but that word sore kind of rings a bell with me when I've got something physical going on. And I think about the Lord talks about it being sore displeased with your fathers. You know, I wonder if the Lord's going to be sore displeased with us who are fathers now and grandfathers. I wonder if He's going to be pleased with what we do or what we don't do according to His Word. We see here an indication from God that prior to their rebellion and their not hearkening, their fathers had not hearkened. They too had not listened. And He said, truly what's going to happen is their wickedness is going to be cast upon them and even of their children that have children later. And we talk about it. The generation has provoked God. I tell you today, it's a dangerous thing to provoke God Almighty, to understand the truth that is set before us in order that we might obey Him. God, through the prophet Zechariah, is telling this generation that if sin and evil doings of these fathers have been dealt with, what made them think He would not deal with their sin? We find in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 1 through 11, He said, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye be ignorant how all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea, and did eat all the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, and they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were for our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as the some of them, it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither did let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell one day 23,000. I'm telling you now, I know I'm reading it fast, but I want you to listen to what I'm saying. He said that day, literally, some of them had committed fornication and fell one day some 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them have tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. So here's people being killed because of their sin, their lack of obedience. Here's people we find here being destroyed by serpents. Verse 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. I don't know whether you got all that or not, and you probably didn't because I was probably not reading it plain enough or I was going too fast. But I'm telling you, there's serious consequences to not hearkening to the voice of God. I think that's what's wrong with our churches today. I believe it's what's wrong in our churches today. We've got so caught up in so many other things that we don't literally understand how much we all love God. I tell you today, I know this may sound to some that I'm saying something different than I'm saying, but I'm going to tell you what. I'm looking forward to the Lord coming back. But I tell you, if He comes this morning, I don't want to be at home if I can help it. Now, I'm not saying that there's times you don't need to stay home. If you got COVID, stay home. If you can't literally walk at all, stay home. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying it's my desire to be where Christ would have me to be when He comes and takes me home to be with Him. Notice the demand of God. In verse 3 and the first part of 4, He said, therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn you, saith the Lord of hosts. Be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil ways, from your evil doings, for they did not hear, nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. Notice the demand of God. The demand of God is what? To turn. I don't know how to say this, and I'm just going to say it, but I don't know how in the world people can come to church and hear the Word of God and not be turned to God. Especially people that are saved people that know God. People that are saved by the grace of God. I just feel like that the Bible tells us that we'll be taught by the Holy Spirit of God. He'll guide us into all truth. But he wants them to turn. Then verse, the latter part of verse 4a, he talks about, he says, turn ye now. We don't need, somebody said, preacher, one of these days I'm enjoying life right now, but one day I'm going to serve God when I get older. Can't do nothing else. Basically, that's what they're saying. When I can't do nothing else, I'll serve God. Friend, I'm going to tell you, he's not looking for people that can't serve him. He's looking for people that can serve him. And we need to be obedient in doing whatever he would have us to do. Number two, consider a call to remembrance. Look at verse 5 and 6. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did they take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. That's an important thing to remember right there. They did not heed. Literally, they defied God in every area of their life. They paid no attention to God. But it's serious business, this business about. I tell people all the time, you know, I want people to get saved. But I don't want people to get saved with the idea that they can live any way they want to live and do anything they want to do and go any place they want to go. I just do not believe that that's the way God intended for it to be. I believe that's why he is saddened when we turn away from him and don't do the things that he has us to do. Their voluntary action, and by the way, it was their voluntary action, they did not hear. Neither did they hearken unto me. Not, I ain't talking about me. I'm talking about the God. Neither did they hearken unto me. It was not that they could not hear. It was that because they did not hear. They knew what was right. He just didn't do it. Every one of us in this building today have done something this week that wasn't right, that we knew was right. I would say that. If you want to tell me what it is with you, or just let me know that you didn't have that problem this week, then go ahead. I'd like to talk to you. The fact of it is, God wants us to hearken. He wants us to listen, our ears to be open to the truth of the Word of God. The next thing we notice, and I think we've already got it up there, call to remembrance, I left some out and had to go back. Consider a call to remembrance. The Lord wanted them to remember some things. Here the Lord is reminding them about sowing and reaping. Galatians 6, 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. My heart is saddened when I listen to the news of people doing things and children being killed and just all kind of things. There's so much meanness in the world today. And I sometimes am very much bothered by that. But I'm reminded, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And one day he will stand before God, give an account of his life. Go back with me and look in verse number 5. In verse number 5, he said, your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? First thing he's doing is reminding them of the past. Now understand, if we're saved and we've confessed our sin is under the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe that wholeheartedly with everything I have. But again, when I read verse 5, he's asking your fathers, where are they? They're not in the land of the living. They perished by the sword of the Chaldeans. Many of them died in captivity. And again, to think of us, our actions having anything to do with our children down the road and what they do. He said, ye ask your fathers, where are they? They're not in the land. They've perished by the sword. He also said, and the prophets, do they live forever? The reference here, most believe, is the false prophets that told them the captivity would never come. It also could be a reference to the true prophets who warned them. Either way, both is very appropriate. The record of God's judgment in the past serves as a fitting reminder that sin does not go unpunished. Be sure your sins will find you out. Thank you, Miss Dorothy. I needed that help right there. Yes, sir, be sure your sins will find you out. You may think you're going to get by with it. Sometimes it don't happen immediately. Sometimes it happens later on in life, and sometimes it happens, we wished it hadn't happened because of the ones that it affects in our life. The record of God's judgment in the past serves as a fitting reminder that sin does not go unpunished. Look at verse 6. He talks about his precepts. He said, but my words and my statutes. Remember, the other night we was talking about Psalm 119. Every verse, I believe, in Psalm 119, it gives reference to the word of God. The words, my words, statutes, I've commanded my servants, the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. Again, it's interesting to understand what God is saying, but he reminds them of the precepts. I don't spend as much time in the Word of God as I need to. You said, preacher, just being honest. And I believe if anybody else was honest, you'd say you don't spend as much time as you ought to. I'm not saying you don't spend time in the Word of God, but we have to remember and see the precepts that God has set before us. He reminds them of their path. The Bible said, like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us according to our ways, he reminds them of their practices. And according to our doing, so hath he dealt with us. Hebrews 2, 1 and 4. Therefore we ought to give the earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. In other words, we're to grow, we're to learn, we're to understand the Word of God. If we understand the Word of God, if we grow in the things of God, then truly if we do that, then it's going to make a difference in our life, and it ought to make us give earnest heed. If you walk out of services and hear preaching, and you never something, I don't care who it is or what it is, if it's the Word of God, and you're not concerned about it or it don't touch you, never. I mean, I know occasionally there's times you don't get as much as you might some other time, but if you really love God and you really want to hear the Word of God is going to be sharper than a two-edged sword. For the word was spoken by angels, were steadfast in every transgression, disobedient, received a recompense of reward. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. I'm telling you, there's just reward for what we do. Number 3, consider a compelling repentance. Now I want you to go back with me over to chapter 7. Over to chapter 7. We're going to be looking at verses 8 through 10, and we'll look at them kind of as we go. But we're looking here at consider a compelling repent. In Luke chapter 13, I'm going to read verse 8 through 10 in just a moment. But he said in Luke 13, 5, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall always perish. Likewise, all perish. Therefore, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. How important it is to understand the truth that is set before us here in the Word of God. Repentance brings about a change in our life. What a wonderful change in our life has been wrought since Jesus came into our heart. I know today, and listen, I'm not trying to tell you that you have to live a life of perfection. I'm telling you, you can't live a life of perfection. There's not a single one of us that can live a life of perfection, but we ought to be striving to perfect what we have, know and understand it from the Word of God, that we're going to live for God, we're going to be a testimony for God, and we're going to serve God with all our heart and all our soul. The Bible says, it talks about that, but he also, true repentance is complete repentance. Look in chapter 7, verse 8 through 10. And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother. And oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the strangers, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. I want you to notice 4 things that I'm going to look at here. These verses before us today, we go back to chapter 7 and verse number 11. 4 things I want you to notice. Well, we're on number 4. considering a callous rejection. We have a consider compelling rejection we just read about, but now consider a callous rejection. Verses 11 and 12. But they refused to hearken. They pulled away their shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law, the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. I can't improve on that. I don't know what else to say. But there's two ways to respond to God. Either yes or no. Either we will or we won't. There's no neutrality. You either do what his word says or you don't do what his word says. Notice the four things in the first part of chapter 7 in verse number 11. But they refuse to hearken. The first thing is refusal. Today, we need to understand that God didn't place us here to refuse. God placed us here to obey. By the way, he's in total control of our life. Everything we do ought to be done for his honor and glory. Notice there the refusal. Then the latter part, notice their resistance. The Bible said in chapter 11, verse B, the latter part of it, B, and they pulled away their shoulders and they stopped their ears. You don't have to stick your fingers in your ear not to hear the truth of the Word of God. You can look like you're paying attention, and I believe you are, and I appreciate that. But the fact of it is, their refusal to listen and hearken, but then also their resistance, they pull their shoulder away. I've talked to people many times, and many of you have. You've talked to people, tried to win them to the Lord, told them they need to serve God, they need to get in church, they need to be saved. And have you ever heard somebody say, I don't want to hear that, I don't need that. You know, we was mentioning about the YDC, and again, I don't know how many of those boys get saved and how many don't get saved. That's between them and God. But I tell you what, normally, most of the time, they were very attentive and they were very alert to what we were saying to them. And I tell you, if that's the only time they got it, so be it. But they did hear it and hear the truth that was said before them. They pulled in the opposite direction. You know, the scripture says we're to go with God. Go with God. Whatever, where he leads me, I'll follow. Do what God would have us to do and be faithful to him. We need to understand they pulled in the opposite direction. They not only refused to hear, but they pulled away and they fought against his word. Not a good thing to go against God's word. I can assure you that. We must understand the importance and the truth that is set there. Then notice their rebellion in verse number 12. Yea, they made their hearts as an Adamic stone. I actually didn't look that word up. I'm sure at some time I knew, but I believe what it means is a very hard heart. A very hard heart, not able to listen. Yea, they made their hearts as a damaged stone. You know, you can come in here today, you can listen to the Word of God and not get a thing out of it. Or you can come in here and you can heed, hearken, God's speedy heart. But their hearts as an Adamic heart, lest they should hear the law. Did you come here this morning not wanting to hear the Word of God? I hope not. But that's what happened to them, that they didn't want to hear it. And the words of the Lord of hosts, the former prophets, therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. God in his wrath will only put up with our foolishness for so long. One day he writes us off. I hate to tell you that, because I want everybody to have an opportunity to be saved. I want everybody to have an opportunity to go to heaven. But I want you today to consider with me a callous rejection. It wasn't just a rejection. It was, get out of here. I don't want to hear it. I've had doors slammed in my face. I've had people tell me they were not interested in what I had to say. That's callous. And people that continue to reject God one day, those very people are going to bow their knee to God, give an account of their life, whether they be good or bad. And then, number five, and lastly, consider a certain result. Consider a certain result. Verse 13 and 14, he says, therefore, it has come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. Did you get that? Let me just read again in case you didn't. Therefore, it came to pass that as he cried, they would not hear. So they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. I'm going to tell you something. There's never a guarantee of another minute, second, or day for us to get saved. Today is the day of salvation. I believe today if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to repent of your sin. You need to ask Him to come into your heart and save you, because one day you're going to cry out to Him. And He's not going to be anywhere, because He's given you opportunity after opportunity. I remember a guy by the name of Harold Smith, I believe was his name, and he preached on God's three deadlines or God's four deadlines. I don't know, but God had those deadlines. And he preached about it. And I'm going to tell you, that night many people got saved. But I'm telling you, God does have a deadline. You often hear me say God will save you as long as you got breath in your body. And I believe that. But I do believe also God will turn you over, as we talked about earlier, to a reprobate mind. Look what he said in verse 14. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. I think tonight or this morning as we look at this, there's only two ways to respond to God's will. I've already talked about that, yes or no. Consider a certain result. We may not want to think about it, but there's a result of our actions that'll be taken. Result of refusing to hearken. What's the result of refusing to hearken? Verse 13 is heard prayers. I just read it. Therefore it came to pass that as he cried and they would not hear, so they cried and I would not hear. I'd hate to think this morning that God didn't hear my prayers. I think it's possible. I think if we guard iniquity in our heart, God will not hear us. I believe that. But I tell you today, I want to know, because I've obeyed and I've hearkened to him, I sure hope he hearkens to me. He will hearken to you, as long as you're doing what is right according to his word. Proverbs 28:9. He that turneth his way from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. He that turns away his ear. In other words, I take that as we hear the word of God, we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. But if we disobey that, then our prayer is an abomination to God, because the Bible said if we have sin in our heart, God will not hear us. So again, I want God to hear me, and I want him to hear you. Here, we see the divinely declared, there's a time when God will have enough, man will face his own doings, there's not going to be any help when you're standing before God about to be cast into hell, there's not going to be any help when when you've drawn your last breath. You better understand the help that you have is today. Notice what the Bible said in Proverbs 1:24-31, because I have called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as the whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. That's a powerful verse right there. In verse 14, as we read, Proverbs 1:24-31. But I'm telling you, there's so much truth in that today. What do we come to church for? Play church? Or do we come to church because we love God? Notice the dispersion of the people. He said, I've scattered them like the whirlwind among nations who they knew not. How will we do when the whirlwind comes? How will we fare? What will we have? I've often said it, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And that's true. But you can mark it down. This is not a playhouse. Lester Roloff, you say this is not a recreation room. It's a fight. It's not a game. He said, run if you want to, but run if you will. But he said, I came here to stay. Notice the dispersion of the people. They're scattered. What's happening? What's happening today? Look at the dispersion of the people all around the world. Look at the number of people that are in our country now that wasn't just a few months ago. And think about, did you hear yesterday about the bombing in Israel? And I believe with all my heart, God's got some major promises in the Bible about Israel. And I tell you, we think about all that's going on, and some may be scattered. But I tell you, when the Lord comes, I want to be scattered home in heaven with Him for eternity. Notice the desolation of the place, the latter part of chapter, verse number 14, that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. We'd better realize the result of refusing to hearken to the voice of God. If you're here this morning and you're lost, the only thing you need to hearken to is the fact that Jesus saves. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's all you need to know. This morning, you need to come when the invitation's given. If you're here and you don't know whether you're saved or not, let somebody take the Bible. The Bible, not our philosophy or our thoughts, but the Bible, and show you how to be saved. Again, we do not want you to die and spend eternity in hell. We want God to save your soul. Because if you die and go to hell, you're going to be separated from your family. You're going to be separated from your friends. But most of all, you're going to be separated from God. And how important it is that we're not separated from Him. There are those that are saved, saved people, that still refuse to hearken to the voice of God. I'm not here today preaching on chastisement, but I'm going to tell you something. It's a dangerous thing to mess around with the Word of God and the will of God. And again, you say what you will, and I know it's awful quiet and nobody likes to think about it. But friend, one day God's going to judge us that are saved for our unconfessed sin and what we do. And the chastisement may be so great. And by the way, it may affect more folks than us. And how sad it would be, but it'll be too late because we did not hearken the voice of God. You will watch the blessings of God depart from your family and friends when you depart from God. I know people today, I know a lot of people that used to be in church on a regular basis. I'm talking about regular basis. You hardly ever went that they wasn't there. But today, they're not there. Well, they must not be saved. Not necessarily so. They may be saved, but if they are, they're going to pay the consequences for their sin. Mark it down. It's not my judgment or my prophecy. It's what the Word of God says. Will you this morning hearken to the voice of God?